We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Report, a RotoViz radio news show brought to you by Untuck It and Manscaped. I'm Blair Andrews on Twitter at AmITheRealBlair. My co-host is Hassan Rahim on Twitter at HRR5010. Hassan, how's it going?
It's going great, Blair. You know, it's a little bittersweet because we're a little over the halfway point of the season here. It's all coming to an end, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's true. If you if your teams are struggling now, you probably are looking forward to next year. But yeah, a lot of stuff to talk about this week. I'm especially excited to be discussing it with our guest today. Joining us on the show is Nathan Powell. Listeners probably know Nathan as the co-host of the Dynasty Tradecast on RotoViz Radio. You can follow him on Twitter at NPowellFF. Nathan, thanks for joining us. How's it going?
Thanks for having me, guys. Excited to talk some week nine. And yeah, I don't know. I at this point of the season, I kind of like get more excited for the playoffs. And like, I'm okay with realizing that in 2 months, fantasy ball, we done. You know, because at this point, you got the waivers, the lineups. It's become a bit of a grind. So kind of waiting for the excitement of the playoffs to start, the fantasy playoffs, that is.
Yeah, absolutely. I hear you. I'm already starting to get excited about some of these Debbie guys we were talking about before the show. But yeah, let's jump into the week nine news. First item, Devin Singletary rushed 20 times for 95 yards and one touchdown in the Bills' week nine win over Washington, adding 3 receptions and 45 yards as a receiver. So Nathan, Singletary broke out in a big way today, and it looks like he's taken over the lead running back role for the Bills. What are your expectations for this backfield with Singletary and Frank Gore going forward?
I do think that we'll tend to look more like it did today than it has in previous weeks or, you know, earlier on in the season. But I do think that people that are going to start saying that, you know, pencil Singletary in for 18 to 20 touches a game, 18 to 20 carries a game, I think that might be a bit premature. For some reason, NFL franchises are convinced that they need to give Frank Gore carries over and over and over again. And I don't think that's the case, but you know, that's not my decision to make. It's the offensive coordinator for the Bills. And so as long as they're giving him carries, it's going to cap the upside of Devin Singletary. So for me, I think that Singletary, obviously, I think today is around where his ceiling is for this year. I think today is more of excitement for next year. Like, this is what it's going to look like when he is a featured back most likely next year.
Yeah, the one really interesting thing here is just sort of how Josh Allen and company, I mean, it might have just been the wind and sort of how they're unable to get really anything going. But the guy who's been really like a revelation almost has been John Brown. Like, he stayed healthy with the Ravens, stayed healthy with the Bills. Do you think that he, like, what, would you be buying him, I guess, in Dynasty? Because I know the trade deadline's around the corner. Like, would you be buying him in Dynasty? Like, and what would you be looking to pay for him, actually?
I always say that the worst time to buy a player is after a big game. It's kind of self-explanatory, but, you know, I'd rather wait till, like, a 10-carry for 80-yard game from Frank Gore where Singletary only gets 8 carries. And if that doesn't happen, I'm fine, you know, biting the bullet and, you know, paying up later on. But in terms of, like, a first big breakout game like this is for Singletary, this is not the time to go pay for him. But in a scenario where, okay, Nathan, you have to go buy Singletary, what are you going to pay for him right now? I would offer a late 2021st. You know, people definitely are valuing those highly right now, and I think that Singletary is worth it. So I think that's around where his price should be. I don't think you're getting him for anything less than that, though.
Right. And out of the receivers, would you be looking at John Brown at all, and what would you be paying for him?
And it's strictly win now. Honestly, no. I think that he's more of a best ball play. I don't think you can really count on him week to week, especially with how inconsistent Josh Allen is. So in a best ball league, sure, I'd throw a second at John Brown. But, you know, unless it's a super deep lineup league where you can afford to take the occasional like 3 or 4 point game, then no, I'm not really going out and targeting John Brown.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned not maybe buying Singletary after his big blow-up game. I mean, if you are an owner of Singletary, he's been kind of quietly pretty good this year, actually. But if you were someone maybe coming into the season who wasn't a huge believer, then maybe you wouldn't own him then. But in any case, this is maybe a good opportunity for somebody to kind of sell high on Singletary. So would you possibly be looking looking to move him if you owned him, or if you maybe want to buy in, are you targeting an owner who's thinking they're selling high now when actually there's more upside to come?
Yeah, the target that I would be looking for when dealing Singletary would be, especially in a you know, looking toward the future type scenario, I would be trying to do Singletary for one of the day two wide receivers, maybe a McCole Hardman or a J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, one of those guys, and then get a piece on top. Because I think that, you know, Deebo Samuel, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, McCole Hardman, all those guys were in the conversation with Devin Singletary around rookie draft time. And if I can get a piece, maybe like a late second or early third on top of one of those and deal Singletary, I'm fine getting rid of the points now.
DJ Moore got 7 of 10 targets for 101 yards in the Panthers' Week 9 win over the Titans. Nathan, this was Moore's first 100-yard day of 2019. You know, given the negative news regarding Cam's injury and his outlook for the rest of the season, you know, how optimistic are you for both Moore and Curtis Samuel for the rest of the season?
I think Kyle Allen has proved to be a fine quarterback. He's not going to make your wide receivers better, but he has two good wide receivers in DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel. So I think that, you know, the one thing I think it does maybe prevent a possible breakout that we kind of expected from DJ Moore in year two, but I don't think it hurts his floor too much with Kyle Allen in at quarterback. So I think he's fine. I think he's a, you know, a high end wide receiver three, low end wide receiver two, DJ Moore, and then Curtis Samuel's a wide receiver three. So I do think that it kind of caps their upside, but I don't think it hurts their floor all that much.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it, I think. You know, one thing we saw early in the season with Cam Newton when he was still healthy was that it looked like both of these guys, DJ Moore and Samuel, could potentially have big seasons. I don't know if we could count them both as wide receiver twos, even with Cam, but it looked like they both had the potential to break out. And so what I think you are kind of seeing with Kyle Allen is that it's going to be, in most games, one or the other. Like, I believe you know, Samuel had more targets last game. This game it was more, but Samuel did get the touchdown. So, yeah, I think that's the right way to look at it, that it kind of caps their upside because they can't both have the sort of explosive games that you might see with Cam Newton. Are you at all worried about Christian McCaffrey keeping up this pace if Newton does return?
No, not really. Christian McCaffrey is doing things we haven't, you know, seen since LT. And it, you know, you would have asked this question 7 weeks ago. You said you would have asked, will the Kyle Allen, you know, insertion hurt Christian McCaffrey? And
yeah,
you would have said, sure, it caps his upside. It certainly has not capped his upside. He's been, you know, putting up 35, 40 point games. So I don't think anything's stopping Christian McCaffrey, no matter who's a quarterback or what's going on with that offense. He looks like a guy that's, you know, could pencil him in for at least 25 points a game.
Yeah, and just out of curiosity, like, Greg Olsen, what are your thoughts on him? I mean, he kind of had a little bit going, but at this point, like, is he just a dude, like, who's just hanging out? I don't know.
Yeah, Greg Olsen, he's not on the level of every week starter tight end, which he traditionally is with Cam Newton. I think he's on, basically, if you're in a two tight end league, he's a fine every week starter. If you are, you know, basically punting the position, I think he's a fine starter. But I don't think he's a guy who can say, okay, this guy's going to be a top eight guy every week, or a top eight guy like 4 to 5 weeks. So I think that, you know, he's going to be a bit inconsistent, you know, especially with how they're using the wide receivers right now. So the actual more concerning thing for me in that offense is Ian Thomas. He's a guy who I liked as a young player, and he showed some flashes in year one. But he has literally been non-existent. I don't think he is. I think he's like scored like 2 points or something like that. Someone said he was like the 203rd like highest scoring tight end this year, and I think he got another zero again this week. So, yeah, Ian Thomas is a guy who I liked long term, but I'm not seeing much, and he's gonna end up wanting waiver wires fairly soon.
Yeah, is he someone you're maybe looking to pick up in that case, or do you think this is like a really bad signal for his future outlook?
I can't tell, because you would think that it's a bad sign, because, you know, they got him involved in year one. Traditionally, I would say, okay, give him time. He's a young tight end. But that didn't stop them from getting him involved last year. Maybe he's just not blocking well. Maybe he's having trouble with Kyle Allen getting a chemistry going. But, yeah, I think that he's strictly a tight end premium, 27-plus roster spot. I don't think in, like, a traditional, like, 24-man roster spot league, I don't think you can roster Ian Thomas anymore.
Yikes. That's bad news for me, because I do have a little bit of Ian Thomas. I was kind of hoping he'd have come on a little bit like Jonnu, but that sort of ends that. Nathan, out of curiosity, which of DJ Moore or Curtis Samuel do you think you'd be targeting if you could? And what do you think of the prices on either of these guys for trading?
I think they both have fair prices. I don't really consider either of them super overvalued or undervalued. But I would say that I would be targeting DJ Moore, because he does have that possible breakout type upside, you know, once Cam comes back. I think that Curtis Samuel, you know, you're going to get a variety of opinions on him, but I think that his ceiling kind of caps out around, I've said cap a lot this episode, but he kind of ends up being like a wide receiver three. I don't see him being a top 24 fantasy wide receiver. So I'm going to go target the guy that I do think has that upside. And, you know, the upside to possibly even be wide receiver one down the road. And, you know, he's not being valued as that right now.
The holidays are almost here. You know, that means gifts. And what better gift to give than a stylish shirt that fits just right? Unlike most brands, Untucked shirts are actually designed to be worn untucked. Untucked shirts fall at just the right length, no matter your size, so you always look casual and sharp. Whether you're shopping for the perfect holiday gift or just trying to craft a smart, relaxed style of your own, Untucked is the way to go. You can find your favorite Untucked styles online and check out one of their 80 brick-and-mortar stores. Visit Untucked.com and use the promo code BLUE for 20% off at checkout. That is Untucked.com. UNTUCKIT.com and promo code BLUE for 20% off at checkout. Let's get into No.
All right, first item. Noah Fant caught 3 of 4 targets for 115 yards and 1 score in the Broncos' Week 9 upset over the Browns.
I'm going to go shit no. This is not something you can expect on a week-to-week basis. You know, still not a large volume of targets with only 4. And, you know, you really got most of that on one big catch. So he's a rookie tight end. He's going to be inconsistent week to week. And, you know, he's going to have a couple more big games like this. But I don't see Fant getting in my seasonal lineups anytime this year.
Mike Williams caught 3 of 4 targets for 111 yards in the Chargers' Week 9 win over the Packers.
No shit. I think that Mike Williams continues to show that he doesn't need a large volume of targets to be productive, especially when he can get in the end zone. He didn't do that today. But I think that, you know, he's the best downfield threat that the Chargers have. And, you know, Rivers and him have a good connection right now. And Keenan Allen has been a little bit shaky on the health side.
DK Metcalf netted 6 catches for 123 yards and a touchdown on 9 targets, while also mixing in a 7-yard carry Sunday in the Seahawks' Week 9 win over the Buccaneers.
No shit. This is a combination of a lot of talent being met with Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is showing why he is probably the best quarterback in the NFL today. And, you know, basically showing why DK Metcalf and Lockett is quickly becoming one of the best wide receiver duos in the NFL. I think that with Metcalf, you're not going to, you know, see 123 yards every game, but he's going to get more and more involved in the offense. I think that this is going to be hard for Josh Gordon to get any sort of, you know, of targets in this offense. You know, he's going to get the occasional target, but I think it's more about the Lockett and Metcalf show for the rest of the year.
What would you be willing to pay for Metcalf right now, like after this game?
I'd pay a mid-first or a mid-first and like a late second.
Yeah, that's actually interesting. I was actually trying to use DK Metcalf in another super flex league as kind of like bait. Actually, I tried to offer someone Chris Godwin plus DK Metcalf for Kyler Murray in like week 4.
Oh, jeez.
And that was rejected.
Is that surprising? That's kind of surprising that happened. Obviously, Metcalf hadn't broken out yet, but with how Godwin was playing, that it was kind of a little surprising that got rejected. But good for you that it was.
Yeah. Well, just full disclosure, my only quarterback is Mitchell Trubisky, who it's better to not have a quarterback. Davante Adams got 7 of 11 targets for 41 yards in the Packers' Week 9 loss to the Chargers.
So this was supposed to be Aaron Rodgers is turned back into sicko mode, craziness, the greatest quarterback ever. And then he puts up a clunker in Los Angeles. And this Adams' first game back. I didn't say anything about this. I'm going to go shit. No, this is not going to continue here. I think this just Adams coming back and, you know, getting his feet under him. And once he's, you know, fully healthy next week, he's going to, you know, get back to being a wide receiver one.
Hunter Renfrow caught 6 of 7 targets for 54 yards and 1 touchdown in the Raiders' Week 9 win over the Chargers.
Shit, no, from a dynasty perspective. I think that people are going to get enamored with the fact that he's a young wide receiver who's putting up some yards. But this is a classic example of a day 3 wide receiver who is in an offense that literally doesn't have any weapons. You know, you can say, oh, Tyrell Williams is decent. He's not. And so there's no weapons on offense other than Darren Waller. And so getting production in an offense that doesn't have any other weapons, it's not really that impressive. So if you can get anything in Dynasty for Renfrow, I'd advocate for doing that because I think he's just taking advantage of being one of the few decent options in an offense.
I believe when Renfrow was drafted, like the general manager of the Raiders called him Doogie Howser, and the Raiders called him, he looks like a substitute teacher. And I mean the guy's pretty all right from a slot perspective, but yeah, he was overshadowed during his time at Syracuse by every other good Syracuse Clemson receiver. Yeah, oh sorry, Clemson, my bad. It's just the orange, I forget. But he's a guy who's going to be a stud in my opinion. AJ Brown caught 4 of 7 targets for 81 yards in the Titans' Week 9 loss to the Panthers.
No shit. I think that this is, you know, pretty much what we're going to see from AJ Brown for the rest of the year and look towards a more of a breakout in 2020. But yeah, I mean, with this offense always going to be run heavy, and we'll see what they do at the quarterback position in the offseason. Obviously, any sort of change is going to be a good thing for AJ Brown.
Mark Walton compiled 29 yards on 12 carries while securing 3 catches for 12 yards on 4 targets Sunday in the Dolphins' Week 9 win over the Jets.
No shit. Mark Walton is just okay, if not okay, bad even, in an offense that isn't that good. You know, Fitzpatrick, it's honestly, to kind of get this to what more, kind of what I think is more interesting, is that what Fitzpatrick has done with this offense makes me worry about how bad Josh Rosen is. Because if Fitzpatrick is able to make this offense look half decent and, you know, pull out a victory, not that quarterback wins mean anything, but with how bad Josh Rosen looked in his starts and in his time with that offense, it is very worrisome that, you know, Fitzpatrick's been able to do that much better.
Paris Campbell caught 5 of 5 targets for 53 yards in the Colts' Week 9 loss to the Steelers.
No shit. Paris Campbell is a very good wide receiver, day 2 NFL draft pick. And I think that as his role evolves, as he gets more comfortable in the offense, and obviously this was done with Brian Hoyer at quarterback, so you know, you could assume once he gets, you know, the opportunity to, and it was you know, reported as a sprain, so I'm guessing that Brissett will be back next week, and if not the week after. So once Campbell ends up getting some rapport with Brissett, and if Hilton is still out, Campbell has a shot at being, you know, the number two wide receiver in that offense with Hilton now. I think Pascal has, you know, secured that number one spot for now.
Ty Johnson rushed 9 times for 29 yards and caught all 3 of his targets for 7 yards in the Lions' Week 9 loss to the Raiders.
No shit. This is a classic example of just because someone's the RB1 in the offense doesn't mean they're necessarily a fantasy asset. Ty Johnson has been disappointing for the most part and hasn't really done enough with his volume. So I think that, you know, he's fine for the rest of this season, but there's no future for Ty Johnson.
Mike Gesicki absorbed 6 catches for 95 yards and 6 targets Sunday in the Dolphins' Week 9 win over New York.
No shit. I think that people who were, you know, trying to bury Mike Gesicki's grave, you know, 16 games in, 18 games into his NFL career, were a bit premature. And I think that this guy's, you know, I know this guy's a second-round NFL draft pick and a guy who's been in a very bad offense, whether it be Ryan Fitzpatrick or whoever was – was Jay Cutler the Miami quarterback last year? Mike Gesicki hasn't had a lot of luck with being in a good offense. And so hopefully whether they get a quarterback in the NFL draft or however they end up improving their offense in Miami, that ends up being a good thing for Mike Gesicki as he gets into that year 3 for tight ends. More often than not, you know, anything you're getting in the first 2 years with a tight end is a bonus. And I think that year 3 is really where Mike Gesicki ends up being a reliable week-to-week tight end.
Support for Blue Wire and for the Fantasy Football Report comes from Manscaped, who is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. I think we've all heard of or can at least imagine some horror stories from manscaping, so that's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 2.0 has proprietary skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't nick or snag your nuts. Manscaping accidents are finally a thing of the past. And don't use the same trimmer on your face as you're using on your balls. That's just nasty. Manscaped also has the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why are you not putting deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code BLUEWIRE at manscaped.com. Always use the right tools for the job. Your balls will thank you. Again, get 20% off and free shipping with the code BLUEWIRE at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code BLUEWIRE.
Become a RotoViz Patreon and gain exclusive access to RotoViz Radio Slack, where you can ask questions and gain league-winning advice from many of the podcast and writing team. Both Blair and Nathan are in there, and they give some wonderful advice. You should listen to them more than you listen to me. Patronship started just $6 per month. Become a RotoViz Radio patron today to join an exclusive community of listeners. Sign up at patreon.com/RotovizRadio. We also want to remind everyone that you can get a listeners-only 10% discount to a RotoViz NFL Pass through the NFL Podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast. Your subscription gives you unlimited access to all of our premium NFL content, and it goes to help support the pod. Plus, for a limited time only, we're offering a 2-year RV Radio NFL sub, which includes a 10% discount and complimentary access to the RotoViz Radio Patreon and RotoViz Radio Slack channel for the 2019 season. That's right, get 10% off a 2-year sub and enjoy unlimited access to the Slack channel for the rest of the season. And all you have to do is head over to rotoviz.com/podcast and sign up via the 2-year RV Radio sub, and we will email you Slack access details within 48 hours. Once again, that's rotoviz.com/podcast.
Yeah, and we are also, I believe, closing in on 50 subscribers, and we are going to be giving away a free RotoViz subscription, if I'm not mistaken, to the 50th Patreon. So you definitely want to sign up now, get that advice for your playoff push, and get a free RotoViz sub along with it. All right, moving on to news item number 3. Jalen Samuels rushed 8 times for 10 yards in the Steelers' Week 9 win over the Colts, adding 13 receptions for 73 additional yards. Nathan, with both Connor and Snell inactive, Samuels had a huge day. Most of it came via the air, which capped the ceilings of the other Pittsburgh receivers. So do you think that Samuels might have better rushing production going forward, or will it be Connor's job to handle the rushing load when he's healthy?
Today only proved what we already knew about Jalen Samuels, is that he's not a running back. He's a fullback tight end, and he's very good at that, but he's not good at running the ball. So I was pessimistic about James Conner in the year, and he hasn't been great, but I think that part of that's just been losing Big Ben. I don't think that Jalen Samuels threatens the rushing production of James Conner. He does threaten the receiving production, though, so that does kind of hurt the upside of Conner. And so I think that when Conner gets healthy, he's getting the full rushing workload and maybe just a little less of the receiving workload, with Samuels getting more of that.
Yeah, the one side effect of just sort of like, you know, Samuels taking up all that volume was that both Juju and Deontay were pretty much left out in the cold. I mean, it kind of doesn't help because it's like today in the press conference, I believe Dalton was kind of critical of Mason Rudolph. At the same time, this is kind of what you've got. So you got to go, you know, you can't just be upset. You got to go. This is who you're going to war with. So, you know, my question to you is like, it's really more so about Deontay, right? Like, do you think, and let me back up. Do you think, one, Juju's value has sort of declined a little bit? And if so, you know, to where would you be ranking him? And on the second end is, what are you doing with Deontay Johnson? Because he seems to be doing really well. I mean, like, the team released Moncrief a couple of days ago, which means this is the Juju, James Washington, and Deontay show for the rest of the season. And out of those, you know, I was wondering what your thoughts were on Deontay here.
Yeah, Deontay Johnson's been a guy that I've been interested pretty much since he was drafted in third round. I advocate this on the Tradecast all the time, but when a guy goes higher in the NFL draft and he's going in rookie drafts, that's a classic example of one of my targets. Nathan Johnson went in the, you know, third round of the NFL draft, and he probably was taken, I don't have it in front of me, but he was probably taken like around like wide receiver 10. He was probably being drafted around like wide receiver 14, 15 of rookie drafts. That provides, you know, that value point of, you know, the guy who's getting taken higher in the NFL draft. So I've liked Johnson for a little bit, and I think that he is a target because James Washington hasn't broken out like many of us thought or hoped he would. And as far as Juju Smith-Schuster and his value, I think he's still a top five dynasty wide receiver. I think that you'd be hard pressed to find anyone who is really panicking on him quite yet. Maybe he's gone from the I'm not trading him list to I'll listen to an offer, but I'm still going to ask for way more than you probably want to trade. So I think that with Smith-Schuster, if you want to buy him, now is the time to do it because it's an opportunity. But I still think he's going to be very expensive.
Do you think we see Samuels get this kind of workload in the receiving game? I mean, not like this, not 13 targets, but sort of eat into these wide receiver targets in a significant way going forward?
Maybe into Washington and Johnson's, but I don't think that Jalen Samuels is what's standing in the way of Juju Smith-Schuster being a wide receiver one.
Ronald Jones rushed 18 times for 67 yards and a touchdown. He also tacked on a 15 receiving yards on two catches in Tampa Bay's week 9 loss to the Seahawks. Nathan, it looks like Rojo got the start, and more importantly, he carried the ball 18 times to Peyton Barber's 4 or Dari Ogunbowale's 1. You know, is this Jones's backfield for the rest of the season?
If it is his backfield, I'm not sure it matters. Yes, I think he's fine in the short term, and he's a guy who's going to be like in low-end RB2, high-end RB3, but I just don't think he's very good, and I think that the offense is going to be pass-heavy because the defense is so bad. For those that don't know, I am a Bucks fan, and you know, I've been on the whole tank for Tua or tank for a quarterback train. But really, yes, Jameis and his terrible turnovers are not good for, you know, winning football games. But you can't blame Jameis when he's putting up 34 points, even when he gave away 7 points to the other team. So, but getting back to Ronald Jones, I think that he's fine, but I do think that he does get a bit overhyped by the people that do own him. I don't think he's a target because I think most people that have him are the guys that think this guy is a, you know, possible RB1. I don't see that in his range of outcomes.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I'm trying to think about what I would give up to get him right now, but it's hard to conceive of because I own him on every team already. I think Hassan and I were both really high on him coming out as a rookie, and kind of carried over, at least for me. So, yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see him get this kind of workload. Like you said, it's probably, at least the rushing workload is maybe not something we can bank on going forward just because of how bad Tampa Bay's defense is and how much they want to throw the ball. But, yeah, what I'd like to see is maybe get him even more work in the passing game because, I mean, he caught both his targets, it looks like, for 15 yards, which is not great, obviously, but when you're competing with Ogunbowale and Peyton Barber in the backfield, maybe you deserve a little more work. I don't know. You know, hard to take targets away from Mike Evans and Godwin, obviously, but yeah, I thought it was encouraging, and I don't know, I guess optimistic, but I'm obviously biased. Yeah, I don't know. What do you think, Hassan?
Yeah, I was actually kind of like ambivalent on him coming out, if only because I knew, like, really what got me interested was like that early draft capital, kind of as Nathan mentioned, because that's kind of the signal. What was really frustrating was that he just wasn't used at all. And again, I don't know what it would take to actually buy him, because, you know, I mean, this is still a fairly, we're seeing him try to run away with the job, but we aren't. I mean, I was going to ask, like the thing with Jones is interesting, because I think with just the buys being here, if you were forced into starting him, you were kind of locked out a little bit. But like, it'd be interesting to see when there are other options available to you at the running back position. Will you be able to slot him in? And I think you should, at the very least. Nathan, I do know that you mentioned about tanking for Tua. Do you think they've won too many games to actually really be at the top here? To like, you know, do you think that this is going to be one of those where he gets where they're going to extend Jameis?
I don't know. If you would have asked me after the one game, I would have told you that there's no chance we extend him, and that, you know, we'll end up drafting a quarterback. And I don't realistically think that they're in the tank for Tua sweepstakes. I think that's a three-team race between the Bengals, Dolphins, and Washington. And you could even consider the Jets, but I don't think that they're going to give up on Darnold quite yet. I hope they don't, at least. So I don't think they're in the number one race, but I think that if they finish anywhere, you know, top five or six, it just makes much more sense to start over with a new quarterback than pay Jameis $100 million.
All right, that'll do it for this edition of the Fantasy Football Report. Special thanks to our guest, Nathan Powell. Be sure to follow him on Twitter at NPowellFF. Please remember to rate and review the RotoViz Radio channel on Apple Podcasts and subscribe to our Patreon. For Hassan Rahim, I'm Blair Andrews. Thanks for listening. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Football Report. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast channel on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Contact us via email, rotovizradio@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter, @RotoVizRadio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz at a 30% discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.